My name is Michelle Owen. I'm carrying out this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another Project. The date today is the 24th of August 2009 and the time is now 8:29 a.m. Could you tell me your name and where you come from, please?
Hello, my name's Bernadette Whelan and I'm from Liverpool. The best place in the world.
Why is it the best place in the world?
Because lovely people come from it, like me. The sense of humour, really. Yeah.
What time did you get down from Liverpool?
Well, I came on Saturday and we got a lovely deal at the Waldorf Hotel. We got two nights for the price of one. So me and my daughter are in utter luxury.
Is it very luxurious?
Oh, it's fabulous. Never been in a posh hotel like that before. And the Waldorf, you know. Yeah, having a great time.
So what are you doing while you're staying here?
Well, we're going to visit the art galleries. I want to see that Pre-Raphaelite stuff, you know. I try and get up for the summer exhibition. And we'll be going to the National. And there's this fella in the portrait gallery I really like. Don't know who he was, but he was an MP in Victorian times. And he's the man of my dreams, so I always go and have a little look at him. Don't know who he is like.
How did you first hear about this project? Can you remember?
Yeah, in Liverpool in 08, when we got Capital of Culture. I went to see Artichoke's La Princesse, which was fabulous. It was a lovely week for Liverpool. We followed it everywhere. It was just wonderful. So I went on Artichoke's site and they told me about the plinth and Anthony Gormley's new work. And I'm a great fan of the beach, you know, Anthony Gormley's statues for Another Place. And me dog loves them too. I think he's peed on everyone. But... it said that this was going on and I applied, of course, thinking, oh, what a laugh that would be, how fantastic to be a piece of work for Anthony Gormley. And then I didn't hear anything, and on the 1st of July, which was my birthday, I was told I was going to be on, so it was a lovely birthday present.
How did you feel when you found out?
Oh, I was thrilled. I phoned everybody. Yeah, it was smashing, yeah. And all my friends said, oh, we'll have to come, we'll have to book hotels. So I've got quite an entourage with me today of friends and family who've come to support me and hopefully to do some communal singing.
What are you going to do with your Around the Plinth?
Well, I'm a social entrepreneur from the School for Social Entrepreneurs, and I left teaching because I was getting fed up and decided that what I still loved about teaching was all the extracurricular musicals I was doing, and I got a real buzz out of that. So I decided, you know, I've got a master's in popular music, I love the singing, why don't I do something with it? So I decided to go freelance, so I chucked it all in and went freelance and started a business, Crescendo, empowering people through performance. So I go to community groups like asylum seekers, like the elderly, like Alzheimer's, and recovering cancer patients and stroke patients. And I make choirs out of them. And in a 10-week period, we build up to the crescendo, which is the name of my business, of a performance. And it's so empowering, and it builds teamwork and communication. And I still keep my schools on. I'm in 4 schools. And I keep those schools on and take the kids in to care homes and to actually help memory recall in choosing songs that are going to really affect, you know, how emotive songs are and they bring back a moment in time. Well, a lot of the children, when they go to the particularly homes with Alzheimer's, I've taught them to act as mini therapists, and after they've sung the song, to go over and ask them which song they liked, what song would they like us to perform, and to interact socially. So there's some intergenerational contact going on. And, you know, I've been in tears at this communication that suddenly happened after a very long time. The carers have said they have never spoke before. That's just amazing what's happened. So I thought I ought to make a business out of this, because it's really important to me and it means a lot. If I can get a lot of schools together, teach them loads of different repertoires and genres of songs and take it in, I could unlock some of that memory problems with the Alzheimer's patients and get them communicating. Also stroke victims, because stroke victims who can't talk can still sing. And I found this out in my research. So I thought, if that's a different side of the brain, you see, so they can still sing. So if I can unlock that as well. I asked a load of people, because I have friends who are in the medical profession, doctors, nurses, and I knew a few people who'd had strokes and thought, isn't it funny they can still sing? So one of them said, you can say, good morning, and then they'll sing back to you, good morning. And I thought, oh, this is really important. I could do some research on this to prove they can't speak, that singing therapy can help stroke and Alzheimer's. And I'm looking for people to support me in doing this, and for, you know, local PCTs to take up the challenge of, like, social well-being and health, you know, social prescribing. Because, my God, you know, they're sitting in homes doing nothing, and a kid comes in and sings, or I come in and sing, and we hit on the right song. It can unlock a load of potential and communication.
How do the children react to it?
Oh, they're just amazing. I work in some, you know, pretty rough areas of Liverpool, and most of my choirs, they got quite a good lot of special needs kids in who really shine once you've recognised their talent and you know, you look after them and build them up. And sometimes, you know, that can unlock a kid's talents that they didn't know, in self-esteem, self-confidence, you know, finding the thing that they're good at and doing it. Well, they go up and they're a bit scared at first of speaking to the old people, because they do look a bit scary, and the stroke, people who've had stroke do sometimes to little kids. But I said, look, children, I'm not forcing you to do this. You go up if you feel it. Here are the questions to ask. Here are the topics of conversation. You go up and you ask them and see what they say. But you, if you don't feel okay about it, it's all right. Well, do you know, after a few minutes, these 7, 8, 9, 10-year-olds, they go up and they start talking and they come back buzzing. Oh, miss, they're lovely. Do you know what they said? They were in the war and they did this. So this intergenerational contact, it could really help in communities to break down that social exclusion and to actually get the kids a lot of respect. If you get them early and the juniors, for older people in their community and for people, you know, patients with illnesses. It's a feel good. Whenever those elderly people and people who've got problems with strokes see kids, it really boosts them.
What are you going to be singing while you're up there?
I'm going to be singing songs from the musicals, because I use that a lot with the kids, and everybody knows songs from the musicals. And I'm going to be doing a few ballads, a bit of Barbara Streisand, you know, nothing like it, is there? And I'm going to do Beatles. Oh, I've got to do a Beatles one and a Cilla Black one, because you can't come from Liverpool and not do them. And I'm going to get everybody, I hope, to sing a few songs with me. I've got a few ones, like, you know, Mamma Mia. That'll have them up, won't it, now?
When did you start singing?
When I was 4, they used to roll the partitions back in the school, and I'd sing on a chair to all the kids in the infants and the juniors. So I've sung from a very early age, and my dad used to sing a lot around the house.
Can you describe what you're wearing?
Ooh, I've got a ball gown on. My lovely frock, bought specially for the plinth, is beaded and it's red satin underneath, and it's got this black netting on top with all this beading and sequins. And I've had my hair bouffanted and back comb, never had it back comb before, and I've got the most gorgeous tiara on from Claire's Accessories.
Is this rather different?
Rather. I'm usually in jeans and a t-shirt.
How do you think performing on the plinth will compare to other gigs you've done?
Oh God, to stand on the plinth in London, you know, London, for goodness sake. Everybody will see me. I've got friends in America. They're all going to be listening. All my friends back home are online. All my friends all over the country. I'm just, it's just going to be amazing. Because, I mean, what an opportunity. How amazing. Aren't I lucky? God, I'm so lucky to get to do this. I'm thrilled.
How would you describe yourself as a person?
Oh, quiet and shy. No, not really. A bit of a drama queen. And very used to performing. As my friends say, I'm a real piece of work.
Does your daughter perform as well?
Yeah, she's a really good singer. Yeah, but she doesn't think it's a big deal because mummy sings. And you know, when you're a teenager and your mum sings, you feel ashamed, don't you? And she often feels ashamed and a bit embarrassed. But she's very proud of me, really. She just...
Do you sing other than at those events that you were talking about, going out into the community? Do you sing in other places?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do. I'm a wedding singer. I can do weddings, bar mitzvahs. I can do christenings. Unfortunately, I'm doing a lot of bloody funerals at the moment. But, you know,
what do you
I do
sing.
Ave Maria, that's a big one. Parnas Angelicus. Sort of religious ones. People want religious stuff. And I've done a lot of church singing. I've often been in church choirs in the past. So I've got a phenomenal repertoire of that. Yeah.
What do you really like singing the best? What's your favourite?
I really do love the musicals, but I like the big divas, really, the big diva songs, you know, people like Barbara Streisand, and I love opera, but I've never been trained, so operas would be something I'd consider in later life, you know, because I'm only a youngster. I've been a teacher for 30 years, and inspiring and motivating children to love life, to have joy in it, to have awe of everything around them, of art, of music, of all the creative things in life that enhance your quality of life.
Were you aware of those things when you were a child?
Yeah, I was very lucky. I had a very interesting childhood. My mum fostered 10 children from all different races and religions. And so she also fostered dogs and any stray animals and any stray people who happened to need a home. Betty Carroll was the one to go to. So always had a very full life at home and a very open-minded one. And there was a lot of fun and laughter. There were always loads of kids, loads of animals, lots of laughter, and loads of friends, and it was just lovely. I was very lucky. It wasn't easy, we were very poor, but you know, it was a house full of fun and creativity, because my dad could sing. He used to sing really good. He was a Bing Crosby type of crooner with an Irish accent. He loved his songs. But he also, apart from all them Irish tenors he loved, and Jim Reeves and country, because all the Irish love country, he used to sing a lot of funny, silly songs, you know. So we used to say, oh, Dad, shut up, you know, rather like my daughter does now.
What was it like having those foster brothers and sisters in the house when they first started coming in? Do you remember how you felt about that?
I was fine. I was very young. It was more the merrier. As I got older, it got a bit much because I used to have to cook for them all. So, you know, mum worked as well as having the kids. So one time we had 4 children from Pakistan staying with us, and they stayed with us for a year. And they were Muslims, and we had a lot of trouble with sausages. I remember that because they said they better be beef, not them pork ones, you know. And we never really understood. My mum did, but as kids we wondered, you know, It's a bit silly, that religion, where you can't have pork sausages, you can only have beef, because you're a bit young and you don't realise.
How old were you when you were having to cook meals and look after?
10. 10, yeah. I didn't mind, I quite liked it. I did cookery at school, you know. So, unfortunately, I'm still cooking for 8, and there's only me and my daughter. So with that, that's why I'm a bit big. I'm actually a size 8, folks. The camera makes you look awful big.
Do you have any reservations about going up there?
No, I'm nervous. I am nervous. But
about what? Anything in particular?
I want it to be right. I want to get it right. I want to, you know, make it good and have people joining in and entertain people. I think it's really important to entertain people, and I want them to enjoy it. So I want to be at my best, and you need that little bit of nerves and that bit of adrenaline to be at your best, don't you? I hope my voice doesn't give out. God help me if my voice gives out.
Is there anything else you'd like to say?
No, I think I've said everything, haven't I?